The phrase falling apart, it is a frequently used figure of speech. We use it to describe all kinds of situations. Maybe your car keeps breaking down, or you're getting older and doctor visits are more frequent. So we say half jokingly, my car is falling apart, or my life is falling apart. When the reality is, our car and our bodies, they're just getting old, and with a little tune-up, they'll work just fine. How many times have you been listening to the news and you say to yourself, the country is falling apart? I suspect that many over the ages have said that very same phrase. Well, the reality is, yes, our country has had its ups and downs, and yet here we are, 250 years later, celebrating as one of the greatest countries on the face of the earth. But then, there are those traumatic events. Those traumatic events in life that it's like a storm and it comes out of nowhere. You get an unexpected health diagnosis, or there's an unexpected death in the family, or you get a notice that you have been laid off from your job, or perhaps your kids are making some seriously bad life choices, or maybe there's trouble brewing in your marriage, and the list goes on. And it's in these times that we scream out, what is going on? My life, it's falling apart. And the phrase falling apart, well, it's much more than just a figure of speech. And you find yourself experiencing fear and depression and anxiety and all the pain that comes with it. I would suspect that most, if not all, that are here this morning have experienced the feeling of my life is falling apart. And perhaps there are some of you who are in the midst of a storm as I speak. Well, this morning's message is about answering the question, what do we do when life is falling apart? I'm going to get my clicker. I didn't have it ready. What do we do when life is falling apart? To help us answer this question, we're going to take a real close look at Psalm 46. And it's a famous psalm that many through the ages have found great comfort in when they had the storms of life come upon them and life seems to be unmanageable. In fact, it was Martin Luther's favorite psalm. And during the dark and dangerous periods of the Reformation, when he was going through some chronic and serious health issues, he would triumphantly say, let us sing the 46th Psalm in concert and let the devil do his worst. In fact, it was this psalm that inspired the great hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. This morning, it is my prayer that you come away from today's message with what one theologian described as a quiet confidence in God amid the upheavals of life. So with that said, would you please stand, if you're able, for the reading of Psalm 46. To the choir master of the sons of Korah, according to Alamoth, a song. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea. Though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling, Selah. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. This is the word the Lord has given us today. You may be seated. Now you probably noticed that this psalm has three sections in it. And it's in each of these three sections that we find three important things to remember when our lives seem to be falling apart. The first thing to remember is do not fear. You know, when bad things happen in our lives, the kind of things that we have no idea to handle, how to handle, fear is one of the first things that we feel, one of the first emotions that come upon us. And it can be debilitating. It can be like a paralysis. We can't think straight. We can't make good decisions. We don't function naturally. Sadly, in these times, many will turn to drugs or alcohol or self-help books or to social media, and the list goes on. And still others, they run inward and they isolate themselves. And in doing so, they find even more despair. But the psalmist, he is telling us in times of trouble, we need not fear. Verse 1 gives us three reasons we need not fear. First, God is our refuge. The word is, present tense. Not that he has been, but that God is and always will be our refuge. There's no expiration date. The word refuge, it means literally high tower. And in the ancient world, during warfare, one of the best places for safety was at the fortress and with its strong towers. Proverbs 18:10 points to this very idea. It says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous, they run to it and they are safe. God is our refuge. He is our strong tower. He is our fortress. And it doesn't matter if it's an earthquake or an avalanche or a tsunami or a storm in your life. Fear not. Turn to God. He alone is your safe refuge. Now, friends, I don't know about you, but my first inclination when trouble shows up in my life is I run to the refuge of self instead of God. And more times than not, when I do that, I find more fear and confusion and despair. And guess what? The storm, it continues to rage on. Over the years, I've gotten better. I've gotten better at calling a time out to self. And during those times of trouble, instead of seeking remedies within myself, I turn to God. I go to him in prayer. I go to the scriptures and read and search the scriptures. I call out to a brother in Christ. I turn to God. And the reason is because I've learned the hard way. He alone is my refuge and my protection. Second, we need not fear because God is our strength. God is our refuge and he is our strength. We don't take refuge in God to escape life. We turn to God for strength to face the problems and the storms in our life. Sometimes our problems can seem so overwhelming that we wonder how we'll ever have the strength to deal with them. Well, the truth of the matter is we, on our own strength, can't deal with them. But God can. And through God's strength, we can persevere. I heard Pastor John Miller, he used this illustration. He said, we're kind of like rabbits. A rabbit, it doesn't have any natural defense against predators, so it hides in the rocks where predators can't go. When you're hiding in the rocks, you're as strong as the rocks. You could be weak and helpless, like a rabbit. But when you crawl in that rock being Jesus, and you trust in him, that is where you're going to find safety. It's never about how strong we are. It's always about how strong Jesus is. I like the story of Paul's thorn in the flesh where he says, when I am weak and then I am strong. Why is that? Well, because in his weakness, it drove him to God for strength. So friends, when you're feeling overwhelmed and you're weak and you're vulnerable and life has put a thorn in your side, run to the rock. Run to Jesus. That's where you're going to find the strength to carry on. And finally, do not fear, because God is a very present helper in trouble. Friends, I imagine there has probably been a time or two in your life when you felt like life was falling apart and you felt all alone and you called out, God, if you are out there, I could really use your help right now. I'm alone. I don't know what to do. I'm in pain. God, where are you? I need your help. I don't know about you, but I have cried out those exact words almost verbatim. Well, here the psalmist, he's given us some good news. He says that God is not only a helper, but he's a very present helper. The Holy Spirit is our helper, and he is near because he dwells in the hearts of those who have given their life to Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit, he's never far off. He's never distant. He's always ready to help. Whether it be a dark time in our life, whether we are afraid and we don't know what to do, or whether we're not we're ready to give up. God affirms this very idea through the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 43, verses 1 and 2. God says this, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name, and you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze." Friends, I don't know about you, but when trouble comes into my life, that's a pretty good verse to have in my hip pocket. Now, you've probably noticed each section of the psalm, it ends with the word Selah. And Selah is a curious word, and we can't be absolutely 100% sure what it means. But most likely, and most people think that it probably means to pause, to stop and think and reflect. Brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you sometime this week, go back, reread Psalm 46, and not just read it, but study it. Think deeply about the words and phrases that are contained in Psalm 46. And then ask yourself, how can I begin to use what God is revealing to me in this psalm and to deal with the falling apart moments in my life, whether they be big or small, or whether they be going on now or in the future? Because friends, make no mistake, the problems are going to be there and they're going to come in the future. It's just a matter of when. You might even consider this. And I talked about this with the kids. You might even consider sitting down as a family and reading and discussing Psalm 46 with your kids. Why not equip them early and help them to understand that in the times of trouble, they need not fear, because God is their refuge. He is their strength. And he is an ever-present help. Now, the second point to remember when life is falling apart is God is near. God is near. You know, whether we're facing personal storms or there's societal upheaval or there's a global crisis going on, verses 4 through 7 assures us that God remains near. He's unshaken, and he's a source of provision and protection. Now, to help illustrate this point, I want to turn to the story of King Hezekiah. It's from 2 Kings chapters 18 and 19. And there are many biblical scholars who believe that it may be this story that inspired the writing of Psalm 46. Now, the story, it opens in 701 BC, and Hezekiah, he is the king of Judah. The Assyrians have invaded Judah, and they have surrounded the walled city of Jerusalem, and they're holding it under siege. And in the midst of certain defeat, God, through the prophet Isaiah, told Hezekiah, he said, don't worry, trust in him, that he was with them and that he would take care of the Assyrians. So in the midst of the Assyrian army taunting Hezekiah and saying that God was not anywhere to be found and would not help them, Hezekiah, he stood firm in his faith. He went to God in prayer. And then he simply walked away and left the situation in God's hands. The next morning, Hezekiah, he woke up. And he woke up to find that the Lord of hosts, the angel of the Lord's armies, had killed 185,000 Assyrians. And the Assyrian army had retreated. You see, God was always near. And he was always in their midst. Hezekiah, he didn't do anything. All he did was trust in the Lord and let him provide and protect. I want to take a minute. I want to take a little bit closer look at verses 4 through 7. Now, in verse 4, it mentions that there is a river. And in Scripture, rivers often symbolize life and sustenance. And for the ancient Israelites, the city of God was Jerusalem. It was where the temple, where God's dwelling place stood. But Jerusalem itself, it had no literal river. But God was in their midst. And like a river, he would sustain them, even though they were under siege. This is a great reminder to us. When we are walled up by our fear and troubles, we have a source of sustenance. And that source is the Holy Spirit. And he is always near. And through prayer and worship, we can draw from his life-giving water. And then verse 5, it tells us, because God dwells in the midst of the people of Jerusalem, they are secure. It's not because of their walls or their armies that they're secure. They are secure because his presence is with them. And the same holds true for us today. You know, the world will offer us a lot of false security. And it comes in many ways. It may come through money or status or human approval. But only God provides true security. No matter what the storms may be, we cannot be destroyed because Jesus dwells in our heart and he is our security. And one day we will be with him in the true city of God. That's not found here on earth, but in the kingdom of heaven. Verse 6. Well, verse 6 reminds us that throughout history, the nations have raged and fallen, and conflicts have erupted, and leaders, well, they've come and gone. Yet amongst the chaos, God remains sovereign. Sovereign over the nations. His power is greater than any human authority. And just as he spoke the world into existence, his voice alone can bring nations to their knees. You know, regardless of how unstable our lives may seem, God is near, he is sovereign, and he is in control. And it's not the nations, it's not the political leaders of the world, and it's not the influences of society. There are no problems that are too big for our God. He may not handle them in the way we want him to handle them or in the timing that we would like, but he will handle them for our good. Why? Because he loves us. We need not fear because he is always near. He is in control. And we can rest in that. And then in verse 7, we see perhaps the most familiar phrase in this particular psalm. It is, the Lord of hosts is with us. The Lord is with us. And he is not a passive observer. He commands the angelic armies of heaven. And just as the Lord of hosts destroyed the Assyrians, he will fight on our behalf when we are walled in by the storms of life. Now, the phrase is with us, it echoes the truth of Emmanuel, God with us. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff comfort me. Jesus is your Emmanuel. And no matter how dark the valley of trouble may be, he is with you. The Lord is your shepherd. He is not out in front of you leading. He is right beside you. He is showing you the way. He is guiding your steps. Friends, if you are in a dark valley today, reach out to Jesus, the great shepherd, the Lord of hosts. You know, the nations, they may rage, and the storms of life, they may surround you, but the Lord of hosts is near, and he is willing and able to secure you and to enter into your problems and into your mess and to fight your enemies and to lead you out of the darkness. Now, earlier I mentioned taking a time out and to find refuge with the Lord in times of trouble. Here are some questions that you might ask yourself as you take refuge. First, am I seeking God's presence in my life through prayer, through his word? Am I connecting and gathering with other believers? When fear arises and threatens to overwhelm me, am I trusting that Jesus is the Lord of hosts, relying on his strength and resting in his protection? And third, do I call on the Holy Spirit? Do I call on the Holy Spirit to be my helper, my advocate, my comforter, my counselor, and my sustainer? These are great questions to begin with and to ask yourself when you take a time out and take refuge with your Creator. Now, the third and final point to remember in times of trouble is to be still and know God is God and you're not. Verse 10, God speaks to humanity and to the nations. Now, he's already told them to behold the desolations he has caused and that he can and continue to cease wars and to destroy the instruments of war. Now they need to obey his command and be still and know that I am God and I will be exalted among the nations and I will be exalted in the earth. Throughout biblical history, the nations of the world, they would pursue their own glory and they would ultimately be humbled by God. He's saying to the nations of the world, regardless of how formidable you think you are, be still. Know that I am God. I reign over my creation. Lay down your weapons. Stop the rebellion. Stop the violence and the chaos. Surrender to my ultimate authority. You think you're great? My name is greater. And for Christians all over the world, especially for those in oppressed nations, this is really good news. Not only is our salvation secure, but in the face of oppression and persecution, God's glory will ultimately reign and triumph over human rebellion. And there will be a day when we will see the end to spiritual and worldly wars. And there will be eternal peace because Jesus, the King of Kings, he will return. And God has ordained his exaltation among the nations. And God says, Son, sit at my right hand and I will make your enemies your footstool. But until that day, as Christians, we're commanded to be still and know he is God in our times of trouble. But there's a problem. The problem is we don't want to be still. We want to fix things ourselves. Sometimes we take our problems to the Lord, we tell him all about them, and then we carry them back with us, and we do so with an attitude. We say to ourselves, well, you know, only I can solve this problem. I don't think you understand, God, what I'm going through. And by the way, I don't have time to wait on you, Lord. I want this pain to stop now. I want this situation to clear up now. I know this problem better than anyone, Lord. I'll handle it. Let me handle it. God, he responds calmly with something like this. He says, be still. I'm God. You're not. So quit acting like you are. Stop looking at your problems. Start looking at me. Don't you think I can handle what's going on in your life? Here, I want you to take my yoke. Learn from me. I am gentle and lowly. Child, rest your soul. Be still. I've got you. Now, this doesn't mean that we give up all of our efforts when things are going haywire. No, for example, we don't stop praying, or we don't stop reading and searching the scriptures, or maybe we seek out good Christian counseling. We keep showing up. But, and this is a big but, we humble ourselves and we shift our trust and our source of strength from ourselves to God. When we let God be God, verse 10 says that God will be exalted. You want to glorify God? Turn to Him when your life is falling apart. Be still. Trust in Him and exalt His good work in your life by sharing it with others who are going through their times in trouble so that they may look to God in those times of trouble. Now, I want to pause and I want to share with you a be still moment in my life and Susan's life with the sole purpose of exalting the goodness of God. It was late one evening. It was late evening in early January, 1996. In our life, it was falling apart. At least, we thought so. My mom was at our home, and she was dying of stage 4 cancer. Hospice and all of our family was there with her. There was a massive ice storm outside. It was in progress, and you could hear the loud cracking of tree limbs every few minutes. And I had just returned from the hospital. I'd had a triple hernia surgery, and I was in a lot of pain. Yes, that evening, our lives seemed to be falling apart. The months leading up to that evening had been stressful, to say the least. Dad had experienced a near-fatal heart attack, and he couldn't take care of Mom anymore. Susan and I had discussed it, and we decided that we would add on to both ends of our house and move both sets of parents in with us so that we could have them close by and we could take care of them and provide them with a safe and affordable living space. Working demanding jobs while overseeing two construction projects and moving two households into our home and taking care of three teenagers and four elderly people with financial and health problems, well, it could be a bit overwhelming. And at times, Susan and I, we felt like our life was falling apart. And as the ice storm raged that night, and my mom, she was breathing her last breath, the pain and the stress of the surgery got the best of me. And after months of planning and thinking three steps ahead and overseeing construction and comforting my family while running a school, the Holy Spirit whispered to me, He said, be still, be still. The Father and Son, we've got this. And for once I listened, and I laid down and I went to sleep. A few hours later, Susan, she gently woke me. She told me that Mom had passed. Well, reflecting back, I realized we were wrong. Life wasn't falling apart. Instead, God was working at building us up, growing our faith, bringing our family closer together, providing a safe haven for our parents. And He was equipping us. He was equipping us for the storms that were yet to come, and they did come. There was never a need to fear, because God was always near. We just need to be still and let God be God. I practice this so many times so that I wouldn't get emotional, and then my daughter shows up. I want to invite the band to come back on the stage. And as I close this morning, I wanted to point out the last phrase in this remarkable psalm. And in fact, it appears twice. And it should be a source of encouragement and comfort to us. It says that the God of Jacob is our fortress. Now, many of you know that Jacob was a conniver. He was a deceiver. He cheated his brother out of his birthright. Yet God kept his covenant with him. Even though Jacob was flawed, he kept his covenant with him, protecting him and never abandoning him. Well, why is this encouraging to us? Well, if God would never abandon a scoundrel like Jacob, he surely will not abandon you or I. When Jesus died on the cross, he cleansed us of our sins and he clothed us in his righteousness. And he proclaimed us eternal citizens of heaven. And we became sons and daughters, adopted sons and daughters of Abba, Father, Yahweh. He saved us from the penalty of sin and he gifted us with the Holy Spirit. He gifted us with the Holy Spirit to help us grow in his image and his likeness. And when we do what we shouldn't do, and we don't do what we should do, and we repent, he forgives us and he restores us. And just like Jacob, he promises to protect us and to never abandon those who believe in him. Brothers and sisters, as a child of God, he loves you. And when you are in the midst of a storm and you're feeling helpless, and you're feeling alone, be still. Call out his name. Draw near to him, and he will draw near to you. P46. It's a comforting reminder that in times of trouble, do not fear. God is near. Be still, and know that God is God. The Lord of hosts is with you, and the God of Jacob is your fortress. Let us pray. Lord of hosts, give us a quiet confidence in you amid the upheavals of life. When we feel our lives are falling apart, remind us that you are near and promise never to leave or forsake us. We choose to believe that promise today, Lord. In our doubts, be our peace. In our weakness, be our strength. And in our sorrow, be our comfort. Help us feel your presence surrounding us. Hold us close and guide us through whatever storms come our way, and help us to be still and know that you are God. We love you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen.